I want to introduce, y'all just don't know. She's the hardest working woman I've ever known. She's not a pushover. She loves me more than anybody ever has in this whole world. If there was to be a picture in the dictionary of loyalty, it's my wife. If you want to fight, say something bad about me in front of her. I assure you, and I don't say this, I'm not just blowing smoke or making up stuff, but God brought her into my life so she could make me a better man so I could do what God's called me to do. And her presence in my life has made me a better man. So I introduce my wife, and yes, Pastor Fivefold Ministry called Nancy Hill, not because she's a pastor's wife. She was called by God. If you got a problem with woman preaching or teaching, you don't understand the scriptures, and I have a whole teaching on that to correct you. All right?
Now I'm all red and blushing and grinning, and it's like our first date. We even made the cashier feel a little awkward when we went through a grocery store line because we were smiling at each other so much. So I love my man. I love God. I love my man. I love my family. And so here we are. The Lord really laid something a little bit different. Some of you have heard my testimony. If you have been at other conferences, if you have watched the videos, you've heard my testimony. I'm not going to go into it completely tonight, but I've named this Unmasked, From Fear to Faith. The Lord really laid something on my heart, and that's the condition of the church. I know that here we've got a lot of truth. We've got a lot of things going on. We share a lot of things. I mean, probably most of you evangelize and do all these things, but we really need to take a look at our hearts, take a look at what we're doing, make sure that we are completely walking in the light. That's what the Lord really laid on my heart. This is what church people look like, to those on the outside, to those on the inside. I didn't have a lot of experience with denominations because I grew up in a charismatic Word of Faith church from the time I was six. So that's all I really knew until we came to Opelika and I learned about Baptists. Now, nothing wrong with Baptists, but one thing that I learned from a lot of the people I encountered is they were fake. I mean, there was a lot of fakeness. Not bad as in I'm trying to manipulate you or whatever, but they had some deep issues, but they were expected to look like these people. It's all right. It's okay. Everything's good. You know, put that smile on and just go to church, even if you're ripped out inside and dealing with all kinds of issues, or you're dealing with abuse, or you're dealing with an alcoholic husband or whatever. They just, it's thumbs up and a fake smile on your face. So I started kind of putting together some things here. Pornography in the church. When you start just even pulling up statistics about the different issues in the church, you just really, it's mind-blowing. 15 mind-blowing statistics about porn and the church. And, you know, I'm not going to read through all of these, but Christians are just consumed with these secret sins. You know, you've got pastors, youth pastors. There was one, I can't remember if it was Brownsville or another conference, they were talking about Christians coming for a Christian conference and how the hotels would say whenever the Christians came in back in the day, you'd rent the porn from the, you know, hotels at night, whatever. And it would skyrocket when the Christians were in town. And yeah, it is a wow. It is a wow. But nobody's talking about it. Nobody's addressing it. You don't have a lot of people who are coming out and confessing it. Here's another one, divorce in the church. It's rampant. It's rampant. You see this one. Christian, religious composition of divorced or separated adults. Christian, 74%. Look at these other non-Christian. Look at the percentage on those. 1%, 1%, 1%. Unaffiliated is only 20%. It's huge in the church. Addictions. Alcohol, gambling. I knew a lady who had, you know, I never really even thought about gambling and addiction like that, but I knew a lady years ago who could not even drive down a certain interstate because there was a billboard for a casino and she could not resist. She would drive past, and she was a sweet older Christian lady, and she would drive past it and be just compelled. She just could not go to the casino. Marijuana, all kinds of other drugs, prescription drugs. Our churches are filled with people who are just numbing themselves, and they'll go to church on Sundays, thumbs up, smile, how you doing, brother? Oh, yeah, and they just smoke pot the night before. And then you got these kind of issues. You see the Hulk, anger issues, depression, unforgiveness in the church. And I've said this before, we're going to have a lot of people show up when it's their time to stand before the Lord and get turned away because they held unforgiveness against people. That's a huge one, you know, secret past, criminal past, things like that. I'm going to pause right here because the Hulk, is the Hulk in the audience? Rachel? Come on up. I'm going to ask, this is one of our, actually not just one of our ministry school students. This is our valedictorian this year. Give her a hand. This is Rachel Jerry. And so speaking of these secret things, she's been in the church. She loves the Lord. She, you know, spirit-filled, all of these things. But I want you to hear her testimony. And then I'll keep going after that.
Thank you. I've never been called the Hulk before. But it does kind of fit with my story. So, well, I want to thank Pastor Nancy and Pastor Dean for inviting me to share this testimony here at Skyfall. And this is a testimony of how I was set free from spirits of death and suicide, even as a follower of Jesus Christ. John 10:10 says that the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's exactly what the thief, Satan, was set out to do with me in my life. So I gave my life to the Lord when I was about 5 or 6, grew up in a Christian family, went to church, but that didn't stop Satan from feeding lies into my mind from a very early age. And these lies really made me hate myself and robbed me of what the truth of God's word said about me. And really, each lie was like a little brick that just built up these strongholds in my mind. And they would be things like, I'm not good enough, nobody cares about me, I'm a failure, I'm worthless, nobody notices me, I'm not capable. Maybe some of you have some of those thoughts. And these were, when I say I believe these things about myself, I mean I believed it. They were impenetrable walls. Nothing anybody would say or do could change my mind. And even reading God's word, I believed it was the truth, but I believed it was the truth maybe for somebody else, not for me, because I wasn't worthy of it. And these strongholds really made me susceptible to be really tormented by demonic, intrusive thoughts of destruction and suicide. And all the enemy needed was the opportunity or that open door. And that first open door came when I was 13 years old. I was dealing with a second parental divorce. One of my parents divorced for a second time. And my heart was broken, and I felt abandoned by the step-parent and step-siblings that left. So I remember I would sit outside at the end of the driveway, and I would watch, like, waiting for them to come back. And they weren't coming back. And in one of those moments, it was the first time I heard a voice say to me, when you see the next car drive by, you just go out and jump in front of it. And I didn't know anything about demons, spiritual warfare, oppression. I wasn't taught about it. And I didn't know it was even possible to be attacked in this way. So I thought it was my own thoughts, but now I know it was demonic. And I just want to say, I don't believe that every single person that has suicidal or intrusive thoughts is being attacked by a demon or has a demon oppression. But it is a very common cause, and I'd say probably one of the most common causes. And it's far too ignored, and people can be set free by Jesus Christ. So starting at the age of 19 and in the years after that, suicide just began to surround me. I lost a good friend to suicide, and then a classmate, and then a student in the college dorms that I was in charge of and failed to counsel when she really needed help. And I had an ex-boyfriend that threatened suicide when I ended the relationship. And on top of that, I was just constantly crippled by the fear of my loved ones dying. And then in 2014, I did lose a very loved family member to suicide. And this was so incredibly heartbreaking and confusing for our family. And on one hand, I wondered, how can someone do this and leave their family behind in such pain? But then on the other hand, I thought, I know how someone could come to this point, because I felt it. So in my early adult years, this demonic voice in my mind would start to speak to me more often. And to be honest, it really didn't happen very much in my teenage prodigal years, and I was living like the world. It got much worse when I completely surrendered to Jesus. So I don't understand how people can say that Christians cannot be demonized. When you're living for the world and living for Satan, he's going to leave you alone. It's when you're a threat that the attack comes. So I would have just, I call them episodes of sobbing and despair and rage, like the Hulk, I guess. And that's when this voice would just say things like, see, you're really just a crazy person. Look at you. You're messed up in the head. And this would just add to my depression, and I couldn't figure out why I was just so overtaken by these thoughts and these feelings. And when my husband Chris and I got married, it really just ramped up, and these demonic spirits would take advantage of every disagreement we would have or argument or really just any disappointing life experience, because to me that was failing, and I already believed I was a failure. So this would just really throw me into anxiety and despair and rage, and I would have those, you're a failure, you're always going to fail. Everyone would just be better off without you. You know, thoughts about like running out in front of the train tracks, or maybe once you're gone, finally everyone will take notice of you. And I hated this voice, but it kept just getting louder as the years went on. Like Pastor Nancy said, even as a spirit-filled believer, I was, you know, active in our church. I was a Christian, but this was still really oppressing me, and it was hidden. And it's interesting, because after every episode, I would just feel so wiped out, like I'd been in a fight or run a marathon. I would just be exhausted, and I remember feeling like it felt like something else was taking me over. But I didn't believe Christians could be demonized, so that just fed the lie that there was something inherently wrong with me. So the worst of these episodes came in January of 2021, when one evening I was just having one of these episodes of just crying and yelling and even throwing things, and this time I really just felt like I was out of control of my own body, and that voice in my head was just shouting at me that the only way for this to end was to die. It was like I was watching myself from the outside, begging myself to stop, but I couldn't. And I know you guys will believe this. When I share this back at home, people are like, what? But I know you'll understand. So I felt like my own face was taken over by this demonic spirit. I can't explain it other than it felt like something else came into my face. And I knew if I looked in the mirror, then I wouldn't recognize myself. So I praise the Lord, this situation de-escalated. I don't even remember how or what happened, but he kept me safe. And but in the days following this, I felt that exhaustion, and I just really knew something needed to change. And I was in a really spiritually dry season and just really desperately wanting to be closer to the Lord and know the complete truth of what his word said, even if it meant things that I had believed were wrong. So I cried out to the Lord and asked him to just reveal his truth to me, no matter what it was. I just wanted the whole truth. And immediately he answered my prayer and led me exactly in the direction I needed to go. And a very big part of that was finding Pastor Dean's teachings. I learned the truth about a lot of things, but that included spiritual warfare and deliverance. And I began to work on my own deliverance and started with suicide and depression. And it did lessen to a degree, but the Lord still had a little bit more to heal in me and teach me before I was completely set free. So then in 2022, I lost another family member to suicide, and I knew, and it was a reminder of how much I really needed to continue in my fight. So through a lot of refining work and just the power and the truth of God's word, those strongholds of all those lies that I listed off were just completely dismantled in my mind and broken down. And my mind, it feels like I have a brand new mind. I'm still comprehending how brand new and transformed my mind is. It's just amazing. So when you think about a stronghold is somewhere that you hide, or it's for protection, right? So now that stronghold was gone, the enemy was fully exposed. And at the beginning of this year, I was able to recognize that not all of those spirits of suicide had left yet. And the Lord revealed to me that I was dealing with multiple spirits. And he showed me all of the open doorways that the enemy came in my life. And it was like childhood trauma, the abandonment, just the trauma from losing people to suicide, and generational open doors. So now I had this new confidence in my, and assurance, really, in my identity and authority in Christ, and those strongholds are broken down. So I was ready to just be completely set free. So I commanded all spirits of depression, anxiety, fear of death, intrusive thoughts, and suicide to leave me in Jesus' name, and I could physically feel them leave my body. Honestly, if someone saw me, they probably would have thought I was nuts. But but after that, I just felt the peace of God just totally surround me, and I felt such a relief because I knew that I had finally been set free. So for the first time in most of my life, I am free from that loud and plaguing voice of the enemy, and my mind is quieter than I ever knew it could be. Thank you. Another one of those lies that the enemy really ingrained into me from a young age was that I would never be able to speak. I wasn't capable of speaking, or I'd never be able to speak in front of a crowd. So here I am speaking today in front of you because of the incredible power of our Savior. Jesus Christ came to set the captives free, and now this captive is completely free. Thank you.
Praise God. That's right. Next one. Keep going. So that's her testimony of deliverance, and I love the fact that the way I found out about it was she made a YouTube video and sent it to us. And it was powerful. I mean, it just so powerful. So it was suicidal thoughts, depression. Next we have abortion. And that was my stronghold. Quick overview of my testimony is that I grew up in the church. I mean, literally, my parents were in church when I was born. I think it was a Baptist church. They ended up switching to a Pentecostal charismatic church when I was six. So, I mean, I was born again. I was even a tongue-talking child. You know, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was a child. And what does John 10:10 tell us? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. God, Jesus has come to give us that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Well, the enemy came in to steal everything that the Lord wanted to do in my life at that point and what he had done. I mean, I would pray for people. I would, when I was a kid, I saw healings. I saw healing in my own body whenever I had an injury to my face, and the Lord just completely healed it. I mean, just amazing, because I had people in my church who believed the word, and they just prayed over me, and we just saw miracles and awesome things happen. So that's how I grew up, just in the word. But the thief came to steal it, but I helped him. You know, the open door that I had was rebellion. Yes, this is teenage rebellious Nancy. You see that look? I had the look. So I got to a point where I let it all go. I was rebellious. I thought my parents didn't know anything. You know, I thought my friends were the best thing since sliced bread, you know, and this was all in a youth group. So once again, I'll warn you about youth groups. Just, you know, be careful. You know, I started hanging out with my youth group friends, and we started smoking pot and drinking and just doing all the things that I wasn't supposed to do. But the thing is, this was my open door. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's the thing. A lot of us don't realize it's witchcraft that we're opening up, and idolatry, stubbornness. My God, my idol was myself. I wanted what I wanted. I didn't want to listen to my parents. I thought I knew everything. It was me, 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 me. And that's what really opened the door. I can't remember who, I guess it was last night. Pastor Locke said something about sin taking you further than you ever thought you would go. I went from a born-again, tongue-talking child who loved the Lord and grew up in church, and to a rebellious teenager who was having sex with a deacon's son. I was a deacon's daughter. My sister was the youth pastor of our church. So we were in fornication. I got pregnant at 17. Thankfully, I had a friend that stepped up and spoke out, and so I ended up having my daughter right before I turned 18. My oldest daughter is 34 now, but I was smoking pot, drinking. I ended up getting married, and I'm just giving you the quick rundown because this is not the main point. Ended up getting married, which, of course, was a disaster because we were both selfish and stupid. You know, that's what you get. Yep. But then I ended up after that, you know, I made that right decision and had my daughter at age 17, but then I became pregnant after that, and I just couldn't take, I was just like, yeah, I can't do it. I'm just not going to do it, because the church had that I'd grown up in had kind of been less than kind to me about my pregnancy, and so that kind of scarred me and made me think, well, I can't come to them, you know, again and tell them I'm pregnant, even though I was married to the guy. I was like, well, they're going to, you know, just think I'm stupid. But, you know, the enemy just got in there. So I went and had an abortion. Well, soon after that, because a lot of times what happens is once you have an abortion, you're prone to get pregnant again. So I got pregnant again and had a second abortion. Of course, that marriage ended in divorce because of all that. And then I'm still, after I had an abortion after that, I end up just tormented. I'm having suicidal thoughts. I'm having depression. I'm having, you know, I'm just off the chain. Nancy went crazy as far as living a sinful lifestyle because I got opened the door and I just got plunged into deep, deep darkness, you know, suicidal thoughts, depression. and doing everything I could just to kind of numb it. So I went all out. Pot was my thing because I didn't like to drink because it made me go to the bathroom. So, you know, that was what I did. And of course, you know, for those who say, oh, well, God made marijuana. No, we've got 1 Peter 5:8 that says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So I definitely did. I was not sober. I was definitely not vigilant. And I just got completely, for years, plunged into a deep, dark, rebellious. I just continued in my rebellion towards God. But the difference was I had a child. So I kind of grew up. So I started going to church again. I ended up getting married again. We went to church. We lived this life, you know, that I knew that I was supposed to live because that's how I'd been taught. But by the age of 21, I had a 4-year-old daughter, 2 abortions, divorce, depression, suicidal thoughts, self-hatred. I just could not stand myself. But you wouldn't have known it on the outside. And then I was into drugs and alcohol. But I went to church. I mean, because that's what you do. You go to church, right? Got married again. We had a son. He's now 30. Praise God. He's awesome. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. But we still going to church on Sunday, shooting pool and smoking pot in the garage after the kids go to bed. Putting on that face, putting on that smile. By the age of 31, I had 2 children, and I ended up having another abortion because when I found out I was pregnant in this marriage that, you know, was supposed to be so wonderful, I also, at the same, like almost exact time, found out he had been cheating on me for a year. And this pregnancy that I thought was, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. I'm married. Yay, I finally did it right. You know, all of a sudden, all of that depression and the spirit of death was just on me and in me. And so I just went and did what I knew, you know, I had done before. And it just made things just go darker and darker and darker. So by the age of 31, I had 2 children, 3 abortions, ended up with 2 divorces, depression, suicidal thoughts, self-hatred. But the beautiful thing about God is he reached in and really just, in the midst of all the divorce and all the chaos, he pulled me out of that darkness, I just got born again all over again. So I stopped pretending and going to church, you know, with the smile on my face and pretending that I was a Christian. I really, really got born again, and I started diving in. But I still had all of those issues. I mean, I still had the suicidal thoughts. I had the depression. I didn't like myself at all. Not saying that I'll just love me now, you know, in a prideful way, but I was just really against me. I hated everything. I didn't even like to look in the mirror. And this was pretty much me. And this is what happens. We heard about this last night. We've heard about this from Rachel. You know, with all of these things comes demons. And we've dealt with the deliverance topic. And the Lord, through my wonderful husband, taught me about deliverance. And I was able to come up out of that. But I have this shame about the abortions. I had just this, I couldn't even say the word, you know. I couldn't admit it. I couldn't stand up here and testify about it. I was still in bondage. Even though, after I had confessed my sin and everything, I was still in bondage. This song was an interesting time in my life. It came out, and this was like me to a T. And I think there are people in here that this is them. It's not too long. Just listen to the words. It'll pop up on the screen. This is where a lot of church people are. And when I say church people, you may not go to a church, because I know a lot of people that listen to Pastor Dean, they can't find a church, or they listen online and everything else. But a lot of us church people, Christians, are in this position. And I think the Lord is speaking to us tonight. It's not just about salvation. It's not just about deliverance, you know, and healing and all those things. It's about kind of coming out of the closet, taking off the mask and starting to get real. Real with each other, real with the world. You know, stop pretending that we are something that we're not, that we don't have all these issues going on. So we're going to listen to this for just a minute.
Fails? Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small? 'Cause when I take a look around, everybody seems so strong. I know they'll soon discover that I don't belong. So I tuck it all away like everything's okay. If I make them all believe it, stained glass masquerade.
Is there anyone who's been there? Are there any hands to raise? Am I the only one who's traded in the altar for a stage? The performance is convincing, and we know every line in my heart. Only when no one is watching can we really fall apart.
But would it set me free? I dared to let you see the truth behind the person that you imagined me to be. Or would your arms be open? Or would you walk away? Or would the love of Jesus be enough to make you stay? Are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeple with balls around our weakness and smiles to hide our pain? But if the invitation's open to every heart that has been broken, maybe then we close the curtain on the stained glass masquerade. Am I the only one in church today feeling so small?
And so I was working with a youth group, and I was doing that song as a skit, all right? And we were talking about what we were going to do, and I had a lady helping me with these teenagers. And I saw it in my spirit. I was like, it was at a Church of God. And I knew that I needed to show all of these different scenarios and like abortion and all this stuff, and then show them just walking straight into a church with a mask on their face, because it's called Stained Glass Masquerade, basically putting on a show. So these are my notes. As Chitra said this morning, I tell people, write things down. It's important to write things down because you don't know, you know, what's important and what's not. So this was back in 2007. So we were going to this dance practice, and I said, me and these people, we decided to do Stained Glass Masquerade. I shared seeing a husband and a wife overwhelmed with problems, then putting on a mask and going to church. Then a girl coming out of an abortion clinic crying and then putting on a mask and going to church. I told them 1 in 3 women have had an abortion, so it's a valid subject. Because I was thinking that they might not like to have that in their church play or skit. When I told them that, the lady who was helping, her name was Sheila, raised her hand and told her testimony about having an abortion. And that was really the first time I'd ever been around a person who had just so openly talked about abortion. And it really shocked me because I was sitting there going, wow, I could never do that. It's just amazing. Same exact day, go to the next one, I go home, and I was a single mom, so I was trying to make a little extra money, so I was selling this cosmetic stuff, trying to. I'm not a good salesperson. I hate asking people for money. I'd rather give away all the books than charge people. So that didn't turn out very well. But after practice, I came home, and I had this meeting with this Arbonne cosmetic thing with these people. And the other people that were with me went into another room, and the lady that was there, who was in charge of the selling of the stuff, Angie, she told me this incredible, I mean, just out of the blue for no reason in my den at my house. I had not even told her what just happened at the practice. So she told me this incredible story of deliverance. She said that she and this other lady, Pam, had gone to an all-black women's conference to do an Arbonne table. Angie ended up on her knees with everyone praying for her, and the main lady was commanding an evil spirit to leave her. She said there was a fire in her belly that moved all the way up until it eventually left her. It caused her to scream a demonic scream. Angie said she had felt like, since she was young, that there was a spirit in her. She said, when she was a teenager, she dated this guy who was demonic. He used to beat her and would go crazy and scream crazy. She said she had sex with him and had an abortion. That blew me away. Ever since then, she felt like there was something off. And even though she had been saved, there was something keeping her from the way her relationship was supposed to be with the Lord. And she said that, and it was just like, it was a dart going into me. I'm like, that's exactly how I felt. I mean, I've known the Lord since I was a child. But it was like I had this wall, this ceiling, this place I couldn't get past. And here was one day, two people telling me their abortion testimonies. Tell me that's not a sign from the Lord, you know? So, long story short, I ended up as the executive director of a pregnancy resource center. The Lord really worked miracles in that. But the thing that really brought me out of that was people who didn't stay silent. People who weren't ashamed of what they had been. People who weren't ashamed of their testimony. People who are able to get up on a stage and speak out what the Lord had done for them and how horrible things were before. And that's why I say here, overcomers do not stay silent. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So the word of your testimony is, you've got to speak it out. You've got to speak it out. And they love not their lives unto the death. That's what you do whenever you're giving your testimony. You don't care what people think of you. You know, if you've got some nasty, yucky thing that the Lord has brought you out of, it doesn't matter if it's pornography. I mean, there are men who have been brought out of pornography, but they would never admit that they were in it. You know, people need to hear that. Because if these ladies hadn't have done that, you know, it would have it could have delayed my being able to come out and tell my testimony. It's powerful when you open up and share what the Lord has done. There's power in that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You're a new creature when you're born again, when you give your life to the Lord, when you surrender. But it also says old things are passed away. You've got to let them die, and you've got to let them out in the open. 1 John 1:5-9. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And I know we usually focus on that last passage, you know, he's faithful and just to cleanse. We confess our sins, and I have been doing that for years. I have been, you know, I've been like, okay, Lord, I had mourned over my sin. I had confessed it to him. And I thought that's all it took to be free, to really be set free. But there was more. There was more to that. And up here it says, "God is light and in him is no darkness." When you allow things to stay hidden, it's in darkness. That means you've got darkness going on in your life. You need the Lord's light to shine on it, and you need to be able to open up. And I'm not saying tell your dirt to everybody in the world. Don't do that. And don't get on Facebook and do it unless the Lord leads you. But James 5:13-16, part of this is, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed." We like the whole confess to God, but we don't get into as much the confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The faults on that is a side slip, a lapse, a deviation, unintentional error or willful transgression, a fall, a fault, offense, sin, trespass. You're supposed to be confessing those, not hiding them. And then you go to the next. Healed means to make whole. And I believe that's why we have a lot of people, a lot of Christians walking around here, a lot of people who love the Lord that are walking around that are not whole, you know. You love the Lord, you read your Bible, you listen to Pastor Dean's sermons, but you're still walking around and there's just something missing. You're hiding stuff. 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." There seems to be a theme, you know. Come into the light. Let the Lord shine his light on these things and truly be set free from it. Because here's the thing. If you do not confess these things and speak these things out when the Lord has delivered you from them, if I had never been able to stand up and say, "I had 3 abortions, I have repented for them, and the Lord has set me free from spirits of suicide and death and depression and heaviness and anger and self-hatred," then I wouldn't truly be free, and I wouldn't be truly walking in the light. And the devil would have a foothold with me. He would have a place in my life because he could always speak to me and influence my actions. When you are able to share it all, he has nothing in you. The enemy has nothing he can do, you know, because you are transparent. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That means we have a part to play in this. We have to take action. We have to be active in cleansing ourselves and getting all of this stuff out of our lives and unhooking the chains that the devil has. You can go through deliverance, But if you never testify about it, you never share with other people what the Lord has done in your life, then you're still in bondage. John 3, 19 through 21 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." That's usually why you keep things a secret. Deeds were evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." So if you doeth the truth, if you are truly into the truth, once again, here's that theme, you let things come to light, you share things, you testify, you take away the power of Satan. And it doesn't matter, once again, if it's abortion. 1 in 3 women, I mean, that is a mind-blowing statistic. 1 in 3 women, by the time they're 45, have had an abortion. So how many women that are sitting in here have had an abortion, but they would be absolutely full of shame and terrified to stand up and say that they did? And so they're still, the enemy is still just using that in their mind and in their life. John 8, 12, "Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Ephesians 4, 27, "Neither give place to the devil." And that's what I'm talking about here. He really, it goes to a fear of man thing. Neither give place to the devil. I'm going to encourage all of you, you know, I could right now ask, if we have more time, we could ask people to stand up and you know, share, what is it? What is it that the Lord set you free from? And see how many people would truly be bold enough and put the fear behind them to have the devil lose his place in your life. Maybe we'll do that another time. Last one. Well, I've got two more. The fear of man, and this is where my title comes from. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 29:25. You see the picture. It's not a great one, but you see this picture. You're walking along in your walk of life, and you've got this snare, and that's what it is. If you're afraid to speak out, if you're afraid to share your testimony, if you're afraid to really share what the Lord's done in your life, you're going to walk into a snare. You've got the fear of man instead of trust in the Lord. We've got to move from fear to faith and trust that when the Lord sets you free and you give your testimony, it's going to be powerful. Just like those two ladies that gave that testimony to me, it set me free. It started taking off chains. It started lightening my load. I'm like, you know what? There are other people here that are like this, and that's what we need to do. We need to take our mask off and say, okay, this is the real me, and this is what I really did in life, and it's okay because I trust in the Lord, and He's done a mighty miracle in my life. He's done something spectacular in my life, and I love Him and trust Him enough to say, I don't care what you think. I want to testify to His goodness. That's what we do whenever we let Him shine His light in our life and we start speaking about it. We crucify ourselves and our fear, and we testify to His goodness, and that's what we're supposed to do. And when we do that, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 talks about, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. And that's what the Lord really shared with me when I was working as the executive director. I went from being a pregnant 17-year-old and a woman who had 3 abortions to working as the executive director, CEO of a ministry where I was able to comfort other people. I was able to tell them, I made the wrong decision, I made the right decision, and I never regretted having my daughter at 17. I regretted having 3 abortions. He was able to take me from, you know, the shame and the guilt to be able to use it to set other people free. And so that's what I want to encourage you guys to do, whether it's making a YouTube video, because that was powerful, you know. I mean, I shared that, and who knows how many people from sharing the video about being set free from that suicide and torment and rage got set free because they realized, oh, wait, I don't have to hide this anymore. So that's it. Thank you.
I want everybody, well, let's do this. Mark and Anna, come back one more time. I know there's a song we got to sing again real quick. God of Miracles. As they play this song, this is what we're going to do. This is what the Lord showed me. I want any ladies in this room that's had an abortion, or men that's had someone that's had an abortion because of you, I want you to come over here and stand over here. We're going to have my wife and some others help her pray over here. But I want you, and if you've never even ever confessed it or admitted it, it's time. It's time. There's nobody here to condemn you over it. It's not condemning anybody. It's time for healing and deliverance. Amen. From those spirits. Come on, God loves you. He's forgiven you. Now he wants to heal you. I'm going to tell you right now, the spirit of depression is going to leave you. The spirit of death, the spirit of suicide, even the spirit of infirmity. Come on. Y'all I'll tell you what, just play God of Miracles kind of quietly. We'll go ahead. I'm just, I'll tell you, the Lord's here. Oh, I want to tell you, y'all just don't know. There's this thing about public confession, saying, here I am. I'm going to tell you, some of the greatest revivals in history is because people started coming forth publicly and confessing their sins and saying, God, forgive me. God, help me. And oh, man, is God going to see? I'm going to say this real quick. There may be somebody sitting out there right now still. You're just holding back. You're still afraid. You're afraid for anybody to know. You're afraid. You're too ashamed. Don't let that devil's lie hold you in your seat. Because God is here. He's going to bring some healing and deliverance right now. I want you, I'm going to get you to pray this with me. And Nancy and Pastor D, they're going to come around and pray with you here. But first, I think we can all pray this prayer. And I'm going, because my wife, even after she confessed and even came out public with it, and God was beginning that healing process in her life. And she was in a good place. I mean, been walking with the Lord for real for several years before God brought us together. But we were sitting in a car one day driving somewhere. We weren't even married yet. We were engaged. And I felt this darkness in the car. And I remember it's almost like it tried to turn us into some type, try to fight. And I was just like, what is this spirit here? And she admitted of the constant thoughts of committing suicide, of like driving a car off the road, killing herself. And I said, well, you know what that is? I said, you've never had the spirits of death and murder that you opened the door to by having an abortion. And so I was still driving the car. I just reached over and said, in the name of Jesus, I bind the demon spirits of death and murder and suicide and depression. I bind these demons that came in through those abortions. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. They left immediately. And she will tell you to this day, she's never had another thought like that, another feeling like that. It's those demons. So those of you over here, and if somebody's still going to come pray with you, but I want you to bow your heads. If you had an abortion or caused one, and I want you to pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I know you have forgiven me. I know you love me. I know I did a terrible thing. But Lord, your blood was shed to wash that sin away. But Lord, I know that opened the door for demon spirits to come in. Of death, destruction, suicide, depression, anger, rage. So Lord, I know you've given me authority to cast out demons. In Jesus' name. So right now, in Jesus' name, I bind the demon spirits of death, murder, suicide, depression, heaviness, anger. I bind these demons that came into me through the abortions. I command you, go from me now. In Jesus' name, go! 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 Now! Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And say right now, Lord Jesus, and this is what I want y'all go pray. I want somebody, they're going to come lay hands on you. And with this, we're going to pray right now. It's two things for those of you here. That God would heal your heart of that wound. And that emptiness is there because there's supposed to be a child, and that child's not there. And it's okay. It's okay. It's time to heal over it. God doesn't want you carrying that wound in your heart and that pain in your heart forever. So I'm believing right now, because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And there's some times that he has, that he's just, the healing is not a physical healing, but there's such a wound in the spirit, there's such a wound in the heart, in the soul, in the mind. So you believe tonight right now that not only did Jesus pay the price for physical healing, but he paid the price to heal the brokenhearted, to heal that wound, to fill that empty place, to take away the guilt, to take away the shame. Because that's what his blood was shed to do, to take away the guilt and the shame and the pain that we inflict upon ourselves. I'll say, y'all go ahead and go start praying for healing. Hallelujah. All right, prayer team, go ahead and start praying for folks. Thank you, Jesus.